Have you ever heard the phrase hit the ground running? Well, if you haven't, I got a way to explain it to you. It reminds me of the very first episode of the show Lost. Do you remember Lost? Lost was this series on ABC. It was a survivor drama based out on an island. And in the opening scene, in the very first episode of Lost, Dr. Shepard, who was played by Matthew Fox, he wakes up in the jungle flat on his back looking up at the sky. And there is this puppy named Winston licking his face. This event is so surreal that he's not quite sure what he's looking at or what the heck is happening, but it feels nice. It's comfy, so he just kind of lays there for a second. And the reason why I say this is surreal is because just moments prior to this puppy licking his face, Jack was on an airplane heading from Australia to the US. So, caught up in the moment, peering upwards at the tropical skies, he feels the warm air blowing in his hair, and there's this puppy. Everything just seems so incredible. It's like a fantasy. And then a scream really does rip through the fantasy and snaps him back to reality. He really was on a plane just moments earlier, and it had just crashed into an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Jack jumps to his feet, loosens his tie, bolts to the shoreline where this chaotic scene unfolds. The plane was split in two, the fuselage is on the shore, the tail's nowhere to be seen. There are many people who have died. But there are survivors, too, and some of them are walking the shores aimlessly. Some of them are trying to free others from under the wreckage or get them to safety. It's here where Jack springs into action, hits the ground running. He snapped out of that fantasy, out of the comfort of it, into the reality where he is needed, where his training as a doctor comes into play and as a leader comes into play. I think this opening scene in Lost is a good way to get into our gospel lesson from Luke today. I say this because in our story this morning, Jesus and the disciples have an experience kind of like this fantasy in some ways. They go up on this mountainside, they experience this almost surreal experience of God's glory. And they're so comfortable and so amazed by what it is that they experience that the disciples want to stay. But Jesus calls them back down the mountainside, and the moment they come down, they're snapped back to reality. I think this story has some important lessons that we can take with us about faith, especially our Christian faith. So I'd like to share them with you this morning, and I want to talk to you about that. So in our gospel lesson, Jesus and the three disciples, Peter, John, and James, they go on this spiritual pilgrimage up a mountainside. Mountains are special places in the Bible. They're not just in there willy-nilly. They're places where people feel especially close to God. We heard that in our Old Testament lesson, Moses went up Mount Sinai, and he came back changed. He was like Mr. Clean when he came back down because he saw the face of God. He was transformed in appearance and character. He was transfigured, forever changed by being in God's presence. Now, in Luke's gospel, we hear a similar experience happens to Jesus as well. Luke tells us that while Jesus was praying, something incredible happens. He changes. He's bathed in white light. He glows. His clothes even appear to be gleaming. And if this wasn't enough, we hear that during this prayer, two of the heavy-hitting ancestors of his faith tradition, the Jewish faith tradition, Moses and Elijah, who have been long gone at this point, they reunite with him like they're old friends. And to this, the disciples simply can't believe their eyes. Was this some sort of dream? Were they in the Matrix? You know, were they nodding off to sleep and this wasn't real? No, this was actually happening. And once they stop kind of freaking out about this, I think, they realize this experience was so wild that they didn't want it to end. So Peter, one of the disciples, suggests to Jesus that they never leave. That they would be like Jack, laying on his back, getting licked by that puppy, despite the screams coming from the beach. With quick thinking, Peter says to Jesus that, okay, maybe we should build three tents, three dwellings, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Lord, so we always know where to go, where to return to, where to remember this holy mountaintop experience. We could live up here forever. But Jesus wouldn't have any of that, because as soon as these words left Peter's mouth, we hear a cloud envelops all of them, overshadows them, and from the cloud we hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when the cloud disappeared, moments later, all that was left behind was Jesus. No longer glowing, no longer with radiant clothes, no longer with Moses or Elijah, the experience was just over. From the cloud and the shadows emerged Jesus. And Jesus told his friends not to tell anybody what they had experienced. The next day that Jesus and his friends were on the mountain, they decided it was time to go back down. And the first thing that happens when they head down the mountainside is they encounter a group of people who cry out for help. One man in particular cries out that his son had been possessed by a demon. And with this, the mountaintop experience of God's glory, of seeing Jesus changed and transfigured and glowing, of seeing Moses and Elijah, of hearing the voice of God, it's gone. It's gone. They have to hit the ground running, even though it would have been so nice to stay up on that mountain for just a while longer. They have to hit the ground running because people need them down the mountainside in the valley. I think the first thing that we can all learn from this story is something that we get when we're here at church together. The experience that Jesus had up on that mountain with the white light and the white robes and all that stuff, the transfiguration itself, you know, that had to do with community. Jesus lit up and changed when he connected with his friends in prayer, with his spiritual ancestors. And Jesus only shines with light, with God's glory, with the experience that God is alive and at work in the world when he's with other people. He doesn't do it by himself. He's not sitting at his desk in his office, glowing. No, Jesus needs others to be with him. And that's one of the lessons of this story, I think, for us as people of faith, is that the power of God, the glory of God, the experience that God is alive and at work in the world is only possible if it's lived together in community. And it makes you think, who don't we share that experience with? Again, I say we don't hear about Jesus lighting up and changing when he's by himself. He's not, you know, sitting at a table at Perkins all alone, you know, drinking his coffee, glowing. But he's shining when he's with other people. I think this is important for us as Christians, not only because it speaks to the idea that wherever two or more of us are gathered, there Jesus will also be, but it also says that we have a communal aspect to our faith. And I'm hopeful you can think about this when we talk a bit later about the opportunities we have this week and in the future, not just for worship, but for fellowship and community engagement. In other words, we shine brightest when we're together. We don't shine on our own. And that's a lesson that Jesus teaches us today. Something else that's important, and I think the biggest takeaway about hitting the ground running in our story, is that we need to remember that the disciples wanted to stay up on that mountain to bottle up the feeling of God's glory, of that awesome transfiguration experience by building tents or vessels or whatever it was so they didn't have to leave up there. Peter suggested this, but Jesus knew they couldn't stay up on that mountaintop, that the world needed them, that there were those that were vulnerable and hurt that needed them. And this is realized and comes to fruition the second they head down the mountain and have to hit the ground running. The point is, just as Jesus was brought back by the crowd of people who met him at the foot of the mountain, we too need to get our hands dirty and get to work, because our faith doesn't begin or end at the door thresholds of Christ Church UCC. And this is where we come in. Jesus doesn't stay up on the mountaintop. He changes from the experience on the mountaintop, and that experience redirects him to mission, to taking care of people. The change he experiences sends him back into the world, and his friends are changed too, to serve the world. So for us, no matter where we find ourselves in life, I think this means we have to come down from the mountain after worship and get into the valleys where God has called us to be God's hands and feet, to serve, to be involved in community, as God's people were called down from the mountaintops day after day after day. So as we leave the doors of this place, we need to be snapped back to reality. We need to hit the ground running as God's people of faith, because there is a lot of work to do in our community, in our city, in our world. Just as Jesus was snapped back after he came down from the mountain, we too need to be snapped back, I think, from the hymns and candles and scriptures and stained glass and coffees and donuts and all that good stuff when we leave this place of worship. Jesus and the disciples move from the mountain to the valley, and they get to the work of doing God's justice and healing before they even had the opportunity to unpack. And I think this tells us that God's justice, God's healing, God's glory has a different timetable than our own, than whenever it feels convenient for us. So, my friends, on this Transfiguration Sunday, Jesus calls us down from the mountaintop with him to where he would be if he went out into our community, into our city, into our world. And just as we saw Jesus from within the clouds and the shadows after they dissipated, Jesus doesn't always show up in the places that are already lit up and illuminated. It's the places that are like the shadow of the valley of death. When we are together, we light the lives of each other. We experience God's glory and power and the fact that God is alive and at work in the world today. Jesus calls us down from the mountaintop to share that glory. And I hope that you hit the ground running. Amen.